You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, some money topics for tax weekend. The author of the book for kids called How to Turn $100 into $1 Million. Where was that book when I was a kid? Plus ways to get around the cost of college with the author of Winning the Money Game in College. Plus our travel guy suggests great vacations to places if you want to visit your offshore bank account. And Manny the Movie Guy has an important message about Jungle Book. Joining me on the show today is a woman who, when she's not ping-ponging out in space, she's the host of Sweet Life, the podcast, and the producer of this here show, Brooke Peterson.
Hey, Phil. Sometimes, don't you just want to get away from it all? Well, soon you'll be able to use your tax refund for a quiet jaunt in space.
Next is a Los Angeles radio personality who writes off everything related to radio, including frequent visits to Del Taco. Radio badass, Kelly J.
Hey, yep, it is tax weekend, and I have some of the most foolish tax write-offs ever attempted, but which ones worked? We'll discuss.
And finally, if he puts his phone down long enough to look you in the eye, you'll be smitten for life. It's Chris Martin.
Major movie theater chains are about to allow texting in theaters to attract younger audiences, and we want to know what you think about that.
And, Chris, you have a little announcement to make later on in the program, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yep, we do.
We?
As a team, yeah. as a group.
Oh, all right, dragging me into this, aren't you?
Yep.
If you listen to this show on iTunes, thanks for leaving us a comment and a 5-star review. You help the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, they read your comments and notice your 5-star reviews. Man, do they notice. Bonded Messenger came over to my house the other day. I had a message from iTunes. Hey, we noticed. That's all it said. Hey, let's get things rolling, shall we? We have a full house today, so we got to keep the ball moving. Now, what did you say? Something about a vacation in space?
Well, don't you like a good view? I love a good view. A sunset, even.
Yes.
Well, soon you'll be able to see 6 sunsets. In one day.
Brooke, you just held up 4 fingers
for 6
sunsets. You weren't
supposed
to say that.
Well, we saw it. I want everybody listening to see it in their mind's eye.
That was a private joke.
Now everybody's in on it.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah. There's two private space companies who have joined forces to actually attempt to create an inflatable module that could be attached to the International Space Station or perhaps eventually its own structure.
Wait, did you say inflatable?
Inflatable, yeah.
Like an air balloon?
Like a big bouncy house is what
What are they going to inflate it with? There's
fun.
No air in space.
Well,
there's no oxygen.
Well,
they got to put hydrogen
in
there?
They have to bring it with them.
Hydrogen.
I don't know what they're going to
put
in it.
What do they inflate things with in space? I'm just a dumb guy.
Magic.
I don't know.
Hand pump.
Yeah.
Or a foot pump. Or
there you go. Or both.
Yes, but what are they pumping it with? What sort of gas inflates something in space?
Actually,
Chris, do you have an idea?
Yeah, it's magic alien dust. Magic pixie dust they put in there.
Now, does that mean that the poor astronauts on the International Space Station now have to be like butlers and waiters and all that?
Yeah, like hosts to this.
Do they get paid more?
I'd like to think that they're more of a concierge.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, they're still going to be there working and doing research, but they're hoping to have this little wing off to the side where people can go and see those 6 sunsets a day.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome.
Well.
And this is pretty soon. This is like within the next 4 or 5 years. 2020 is the date I'm seeing on this.
So in my lifetime,
if I've got
the money, what do you think it's going to cost?
Oh, I have a lot. Yeah. A whole lot.
I saw some numbers. I think you can get a ticket for $49 if you get in now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Southwest.
One way.
Yeah. They're taking early reservations.
Southwest or JetBlue, right?
Yes. Actually, it's Alaska Airlines. Really weird.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, that is strange. Well, Alaska's closer to space.
That must be
from
it.
Here. Yeah. All right. Fine. Let's move along. This is interesting. There's some scientific discoveries out there and a device now that, what does it do, Brooke?
It allows a quadriplegic, somebody who cannot move their legs or arms, to be able to use their hands.
How?
So there is a little chip inserted into the brain, and there's a wire that goes down from the brain outside of their body to a motherboard attached to the wrist. And so there's all these little microbes and netrodes and zootrobes. And
they have those?
They have all those.
I've never heard of those, and but then, I'll go with it.
And then this person, this is a guy who's been testing this named Ian Burkhart in Ohio, and he can now play Guitar Hero.
I can't even play guitar.
Right? Yes. No, this is pretty big, I think. And he can rotate his hand, make a fist, pinch his fingers, and grab objects. I mean, he says he feels like a normal person again in society.
That is incredible.
It's very, yeah. So I think the next step is to try and get it wireless, is basically what they're trying to do.
Well, wait till the whole No Fear gang gets a hold of this in their head. You know, the guys that jump off of the sides of cliffs without a parachute, or they do, and they just open it up with like 100 feet left. Those guys, you know those?
Sure, yeah, adrenaline junkies.
Adrenaline junkies, exactly. Wait till they get a load of this concept. They'll say, hey, I've got nothing to fear, because if I lose the use of my limbs, I'll just hook up one of these devices and I'll be fine and back on the cliff.
Right, jumping again. Or even worse, these people who can, speaking on the wireless thing, the people that are hacking into like the driverless cars.
Ooh.
And, right?
Oh, taking it there.
That's so mean.
Hack into somebody's mechanical body suit.
Smacking themselves in the head.
Stabbing
people.
Oh,
right?
Yes, it would be a whole new type of Dancing with the Stars.
Wow, that's awesome.
Like remote control.
Yeah.
Right? Make them out there just dancing
away. We just turned something beautiful into something ugly.
Yeah. Totally.
And that's what we do, Phil. That's
Kelly,
do.
No, it's, Kelly did it.
I did it.
We've inserted the bad into the show by bringing Kelly in here. Well, while we've got you, Kelly, why don't you give us then some of the bad things we can do with our money when we're talking to our tax accountant?
Yes. Okay, I want to play a game with you guys. Tax, fact, or crap? Okay, first, right. I'm going to give you a kind of an easy one, the first one. Did this fly or no? This guy tried to claim arson, basically. It's a Pittsburgh furniture store owner who hired an arsonist to burn down his building after having a failed business. So, astonishingly enough, do you think he got away with it?
People do get away with that. I've heard many stories being in construction as long as I have.
Well, I think, you know, it's a loss. It's a business loss. And so, depending on, did you say he's the arsonist?
No. He's the owner.
He's the owner.
He hired an arsonist.
I think that's a
legitimate tax write-off.
Okay. He might have gotten away with it, except he, out of colossal stupidity, he wrote off the $10,000 consultation fee he paid the arsonist.
So it
wasn't just, I got this income from insurance. I met with the guy, and I'm writing this off.
We worked it out.
You have to be a little bit sneakier than that.
Yeah,
you
got
to do it like at night when nobody knows, and certainly not.
And then not show that you did. Okay,
right,
this one. How about ostrich depreciation?
What, somebody with an ostrich farm?
An ostrich farmer from Louisiana submitted to tax return to write off the depreciation value of his ostrich. You think it flew? Yes, no?
I think the older an ostrich gets, the less likely it is to drop one of them bowling ball-sized eggs out of there.
Ding,
so
ding,
I'm going to say yes.
You are correct. Okay, so as it may seem, they are indeed allowed to actually claim the depreciation of their livestock.
And that's useful information for almost everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's one. Here we go. Witchcraft. So this Netherlands resident, who is the tax-certified witch, do you think she successfully wrote off such training as healing with herbs and stones?
Oh, this is Dutch tax law?
Yeah.
I'm going to say you could probably write off just about anything because it doesn't matter. You work for the government anyway in Holland.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Plus, that's pretty legitimate, right? I mean, she's claiming to be a healer. Yes.
She actually, successfully wrote it off as schooling.
It's
and her, yeah, right? She held it 13 weeks, closest to the fullest moon, just so you know. Okay. Next one, sperm donation. Sperm donation.
Oh, wow.
I actually happen to know this through experience, but you can write that off.
You can?
Okay.
Yeah. That's a write-off.
You have to go at least 100 jars a year, though. So
100?
It requires a lot of effort. Yeah.
Really? That's the limit? 100? Wait a minute.
Before you can write it
That's
off.
That's the minimum.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. Okay,
I'm just kidding,
you got anything left?
Yeah.
If you do, man, you're stud.
I eat a lot of pineapple.
I don't get that.
Well, a guy in Manhattan, actually, he did try to squeeze through the legal loophole that allowed the deduction of sperm donation costs. But unfortunately, the First Circuit appeals upheld an earlier decision by the court to strike down his scheme because it wasn't for medical reasons. He was just trying to go and whack it and write it off. There you go.
Woo! All right, so I've had enough of these write-offs. Up next on the program here, are you in favor or against having a movie theater where it's okay to light up the room with your phone and start texting your friends? We have a resolve to this, but we'd sure like to get the opinion in the room here and perhaps yours as well. We'll do that next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Oh, I'm so glad you tuned into the program today. There's so many things happening, and I can't even explain all of them. And hopefully we have enough time to do that. I'm Phil. Brooke, Kelly, and Chris are all here today. And don't be mistaken, it's Kelly J. Oh.
Not the other Kelly?
Yeah.
We've had another Kelly on the show. If you listen back, just listen to every single one of the 260 plus episodes
heads,
of this program.
Cover your base.
I think it was Kelly K, which sounds very familiar, but yeah. Not the same one.
Now, Chris, while you have your microphone on, keep it on because there's so many things that irritate me in theaters that I just sit at home and watch my Netflix queue now, and I'm on. I think I'm up to about 2009 on my movies.
I'll catch up eventually.
Yeah. That's deep.
Every now and then. I saw The Revenant in a theater this year, and people behaved. I think maybe the time of day I went, it was mostly adults. There weren't a lot of them, kids these days out there texting away to their friends or Twittering or Facebooking, wherever it is, Snapchatting while they're there in the theater. And so the pockets of the room didn't light up with the extra bright screens that we have on our phones these days.
Yeah.
But this week, the dude that runs AMC thought that it might be a good idea to isolate a theater or two and let people text to their heart's delight. Isn't that right?
That's right. Earlier this week, AMC CEO issued a statement considering allowing texting in theaters to attract millennials. It seems like all we're doing anymore is catering to millennials.
And blaming bad stuff on millennials.
Yeah.
Gives
us a scapegoat. He said, quote, when you tell a 22-year-old to turn off their phones, they hear, please cut off your arm. So,
yeah.
Well, we can't have them do that.
Yes.
Or when you tell them anything, they're just like, what? Why?
Wait a minute. I'll have to Snapchat that.
Yeah. So I believe that based on the feeling around the room, you guys do not want this to happen. Texting
Absolutely
in theaters,
not.
Right?
No. Maybe not.
No.
Going to movies like
no
a
texting.
Safe haven from all that crap.
You know, sure. Force yourself to turn off your phone and stick it in your pocket.
Thank you.
Deal with it.
And wait.
You're not going to die. Your eyes aren't going to bleed.
And by the way, millennials, I want to remind you that there was a time in life that if you went to the beach and planned on spending any amount of time at the beach, the next opportunity you had to talk to anybody other than the folks who are there with you was when you got to an actual wired telephone. And there were these things on the planet called phone booths.
Uh-uh. Yeah, pay phones.
But unless you had a pager, you didn't know anybody was trying to get a hold of you until you got home. And if you had an answering machine.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days.
Or a grandma at home who would answer the phone and write down the name of the person and the phone number, you had no idea that somebody called you.
And we survived.
We did. We loved it. We were probably happier, too.
Anyway, that was a huge aside. Let's steer the big rig back on the highway. And, Chris, where were you going with this?
Well, I'll tell you this. Much like everybody in this room, as fans of movies, all the other fans reacted loudly and quickly and AMC heard the response. They have decided not to allow texting in any theaters for any reason. Good for them seeing the bright side or the right side. They issued a statement saying, no texting at AMC won't happen. You spoke. We listened. that idea has been sent to the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
We all can make a difference, y'all.
It almost seems like you should text at one of these movies. There's been talk about having an Avatar sequel for a while now.
Good.
7 years.
Yeah, it's been 7 years, and nothing has come out about it. But director James Cameron, you know him, he lives in a submarine. Deep below the sea, doesn't he?
Yes, he's the next Jacques Cousteau.
He comes up every now and then for air. Anyway, he insists that sequels are on the way. In fact, 4 of them.
Wow.
But apparently it won't take 30 years for them to come out. Cameron's goal is to have the first one out by Christmas of 2018, and then the others following in 2020, 2022, and 2023. So by the time you see Avatar, you might be watching it from an inflatable hotel in space, Brooke.
Ooh, there you go.
Nice.
That's your in-flight
or
movie.
Or my $35,000 home theater.
You know, James Cameron might have taken note that the Star Wars movies are coming out every year now for the rest of our life. And he thought, well, if they can make that movie so quickly, maybe I should start working on the latest Smurfs in Space movie. And so, there. James Cameron with the movies coming out. Now, there was so much talk over the two terrorists from Southern California, the San Bernardino terrorists that created a lot of havoc and killed a bunch of people. And the FBI and others in the federal government on the law enforcement side wanted to get into their iPhone and figure out what was in there. You heard about this story.
Yes.
Everybody heard about it. And Apple said, no, we're not going to open this up because it opens up everybody else's iPhones to potential scrutiny from the government. And I think universally people want to hold on to that kind of privacy and would rather not have government snooping into their stuff because most of us aren't criminals. Right. But then there's those who say, well, when there is a criminal, we want access.
And it was like I felt like it was a 50-50 split or pretty close to it for people that wananted them to hack it and people that didn't.
You see both sides of it.
Totally.
You know, it's just so easy to see both sides. And where is the line?
Yeah. But there is now additional discussion about this to set the rules for the future. And they're debating it now in the Senate, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, so that incident brought up this entire issue, and now they are trying to make it a formal legal draft of a bill that would make companies force companies to be able to hand over information if they are requested. So there will be no such thing as a completely encrypted program where even the company has no way of accessing it. So that is gone.
Oh.
Well, if it passes.
If it passes.
Yeah.
So then let me make sure I understand this. If for whatever reason, and I have an iPhone, that's probably an accurate statement because I'm an Android guy. But if for whatever reason I've made an enemy in the U.S. government, maybe I haven't broken the law, but I've made an enemy. Maybe I blogged something nasty about a senator or about the president, and I get on the baddie list because these guys keep lists. They keep lists of people that they'd like to audit. Maybe I make an enemy in the Senate, and that senator decides, okay, we're going to look into that guy's phone, and he doesn't need to know about it. Can they do that?
Well, that would be completely illegal. Yeah, no, this is a second draft of this bill, and what has changed with this draft is that they do narrow the scope of what is allowable to be accessed. And so you can access this information if there is a reason to believe that there is a death or a risk of death from somebody or for somebody, drug offenses, and if there's any kind of child victims or in foreign intelligence operations. Other than those, then you can't really...
Is a subpoena required for
this? I would
this?
Assume so. Yeah, I mean, this is still in draft form, but it sounds like you have to get, you know, permission and have the whole process and probably a subpoena, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And so when they get close to passing this, then what they might do, keep an eye on this, if they do this, and this is just me, I don't have my tinfoil hat on, but if they add something like hate speech, for instance. Okay, hate speech is one of those things where you can decide on any given day what is, in fact, hate speech. So we can all guess what there's a handful of things that really are hate speech. But
that could end up leading to somebody's death.
But if it's a broader and broader definition of that, if you blog,
like I
hate the president. And here's why. And then you link to, you know, something that would be damaging to the president's, whoever the president is, damaging to the president's political fortunes. then that might qualify.
Well, yeah, and that's what it says. I mean, it's like it can include crimes that caused or could cause death or serious injury. That
oh, so like inciting. If somebody says your speech incited people to light their torches and bring their pitchforks.
I can see that argument being presented, sure.
And, well, don't you think that would also maybe make people start thinking a little bit more before they post stuff or say things?
Oh,
or
you think that's ever going to happen?
I'm hoping for the best. Look, I threw it in the gutter with the whole, Wi-Fi guy and the quadruple. I'm trying to pull myself.
Have you looked at Twitter lately?
I try not to, but yes, yeah.
There are a lot of thoughtful people out there. There really are. But, oh my gosh. No, it's not going to happen.
No, never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
No.
It's like Minority Report.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's like manure.
Well, that too. Same thing.
I'll go with that. We'll stick with that one.
It might inspire people to think before they act if everybody's held to the same standard of being able to be hacked and found out for what they've done
or said. There you go.
Or looked at.
Mm-hmm. Here's something that you should tweet.
Or thought.
When you pass gas, the tiny particles of feces leave your body at 543 miles per hour.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Let's get it trending.
Yeah. Now, give some thought to that before you tweet it, but go ahead.
And put a lighter to it and watch what happens.
It can cause serious injury.
Yes. Hey, calling all wannabe millionaires. We're going to show you how to turn $100 into $1 million. And this is not only great advice for you, but for your kids. So be ready to take notes so you can pass this along. The author of the book, a book, will join us. Now, that's going to help you with this lesson. The authors of How to Turn $100 into $1 million join us. One of the authors, that is, because there's two of them, joins us next in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. You may not know this, but it's legal, and you'll be happy to know this, it's legal to own a flamethrower in 48 states.
Can you use that when you're passing gas and putting a lighter onto it?
Yeah,
you have your own built-in
flamethrower.
Can you imagine?
543 mile per hour feces particles and a flamethrower. 48 states. Now, for those of you in the room here, only California and Maryland have banned flamethrowers.
That's the first smart thing California's done.
And Florida, for that matter.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Are we missing something?
If Florida's, all the stories we got out of Florida, if those people had access to flamethrowers?
They always say it's going to float off into the ocean. Maybe that'll help it. Oh, sorry, Floridians.
Gosh. Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right. It's tax weekend. We're thinking about our money. And joining us now is the co-creator of BizKids. That's a national financial educational initiative based on the Emmy Award-winning TV series of the same name. And one of the authors of the book, How to Turn $100 into $1 Million, which, by the way, you can purchase right now in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, joins us live. Janine Glista, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me on your show, Phil.
Great to have you. Most people don't have $1 million in the bank, but you say they can, right?
They can if they go back in time to when they're 12, maybe.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, you just answered one of my last questions. Is it too late for an old guy like me?
Well, you'll have to earn a really high rate of interest, be aggressive with your investments, and save a lot every month.
But why $1 million? Some people would say, yeah, you know, I'm happy living in my hovel with a beat-up car. A pursuit of $1 million just seems so greedy.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, they chose $1 million because it has a nice ring to it. It'll attract kids to the book. I mean, who doesn't want to become a millionaire, right?
Yeah.
But we felt like that was an attainable goal for them if they started young enough to save. And that's the key point of the book, is you have to start saving young enough so that you can allow the power of compound interest to help your money grow.
Exactly. And really, the book is an excellent comprehensive first guide to earning, saving, and investing money. And we need to teach our kids how to do this, even if we never learned how.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, another point is that even if kids don't get to $1 million, what we're really trying to do is encourage a really strong saving habit. I mean, even if they get to like $500,000, they'll be a lot further ahead than a lot of people right now. But unfortunately, and like to give everyone a break out there, this information hasn't always been available, right? And we've got the internet so ubiquitous now. social media, all this information that's available to everyone has kind of created a leveling effect so that, we say anybody can do this. Doesn't matter where you come from.
You know, and speaking of that, kids these days have potential revenue streams that we never had. YouTube videos. Kids are learning how to code and create apps. What do you say to kids who are suddenly earning a lot of money?
Well, as a kid who was in that kind of a lucky position, I would really, really, really get them a good, strong financial advisor, a trustworthy.
Imagine a ninth grader walking around school has a financial advisor.
Yeah, and a lot of kids out there are motivated to do that, but we're trying to make sure that there's more kids out there that at least have enough money to survive when they retire.
You know, back to that compound interest concept in making money just off of that, and I think of the interest I make on my bank account. And what is it, 0.001%, something like that. And that compounds, and I make what, $1.50 in 10 years.
Right. Yeah, no, really what we're trying to teach kids is that the savings account is just a holding tank for your money to accrue. And then you've got to move it over to investments that earn a higher rate of interest. But savings account is much better place than your sock drawer. Because your parents might borrow it and forget to pay it back, or your little brother might steal it from you. It is, and also if it's in a bank account, it's less temptation to spend too. That's another key thing.
Makes sense. Now that back to the kid with the YouTube channel, you talk a little bit about organization, and should that kid form a corporation?
Well, that's a good question. It really depends, I guess, if they have partners. We did an episode on business structures, and there's so many different structures that you could choose. Depends if you're, sole proprietor, if you have a business partner. There's some tax benefits to certain structures, over others. If a kid has parents that understand that, they can help guide them through that process. But, there's also the Small Business Administration where you can get free advice on what kind of corporation to set up. Internet has a ton of information on that, too. Kids are so savvy nowadays with information online. Like, I'm sure it wouldn't be that difficult to figure out.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's easy. Just I Googled it. Here it is. What's the matter with you, Dad? Don't you know how to do this?
Yeah.
What are the first steps to getting into the mindset required to make $1 million?
Yeah, that's one of our early chapters. I think the first one, having a $1 million mindset. What we're trying to encourage kids to do is really to have a savings mindset. Not a spending mindset. Right nowadays, the mentality of kids, they get $20 from grandma, and right away they think, oh, what can I buy for $20? And really that's not a mindset that they should have if they eventually want to have $1 million. They really need to have the mindset that, okay, I'm gonna save at least half of this, and then the other half maybe I'll spend. But they really need to just go against the grain of what everybody else is doing, because there's so much pressure for kids to spend, to fit in, and they really need to be independently thinking about, how much am I going to save? Where's my goal of eventually having $1 million? It's hard. It's hard. It takes discipline, but kids can do it.
And their pressure's coming from all sorts of areas. I mean, you mentioned the parents who are going to borrow the money and never pay it back, and the brother who's going to steal it. I mean, family is a difficult thing to get around. So how do you teach kids, beyond saving, there's got to be some risk-taking, and how do you teach kids to think outside that box when their parents may not be so inclined to take risks?
Yeah, that I'm sure that's a reality for a lot of kids. What they need to do is, get a savings account set up. And I'm sure most parents would help their kids get a savings account set up. And once a child accrues enough money in that savings account, they have to move it over to investments that earn better rate of interest than the savings account. So to do that, if they're under the age of, maybe 18, they'll need a custodial person, call this custodial account. They'll need kind of a parent or guardian to help them do that, too. So hopefully they can find someone in their family that would be willing to do that. But sometimes, especially if parents don't have English as their first language, sometimes it ends up being the kid is helping to teach the parents about money, too. And I think that what this book is really good at is helping to open up that conversation within families to have kind of a larger discussion. And parents shouldn't be afraid to talk to their kids about money, even if they don't know about money. I mean, we've made all kinds of mistakes, and we still talk to our kids, okay, don't do this, because this one didn't work out very well.
And for the kids, just as a point of clarity, when you're at school, don't ask the custodian to co-sign on a bank account with you.
No, sorry. It's called a custodial account, but what it just means is there's a guardian on the account. Yeah. And they're not allowed to keep the money or take the money. They just, I guess they're responsible for it for you.
And a case in point, the book is a lot of fun, and there's a lot of humor in there, and it makes all of this, which makes my head spin, but when you look through the book, it makes it all very fun and very easy.
Yeah, it's written with a really humorous tone and small, digestible chunk. We really try to make it simple to understand, and I think Workman did just a fantastic job with the illustrations and the layout. We're really pleased with how it came out.
Fantastic. And the book is a must-read for kids, and you adults read it too. It's called How to Turn $100 into $1 Million. Janine Glista co-wrote it. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Take care, Phil.
So you take care too. And don't you think we would have been better off had there been a book like that when we were kids?
Oh, yeah, because when we were kids, we're just expected to go out and play and go to school and go to college. But it would have been nice to have something seated in our heads at a young age.
I had a bank account and a passbook.
Yes, right? You had a little book. You wrote it
in. And every time
you
deposit something, you put it in. And this is back when we knew how to do math.
My brother had a paper route.
Yeah.
I had a paper route in my 20s.
I had enough money saved up by the time I was 16 to buy a house that was for sale up the street from my house.
Literally?
Literally.
Seriously?
Well, had my dad been willing to co-sign with me, but back then I think it was like 14-15% interest on a mortgage, but just the same. It was a house on an acre of lawn, land. It was like this little cracker box house that was built in like 1910, something
like that. Was it a
tiny
house?
Tiny house on a big lot with trees and all that.
Nice.
And it was for like 15 grand, something like that.
And you had that much? How old?
No, I had enough. I had enough money to put
down. Woo, okay, I'm back. I had a heart attack there. I was like,
What's wrong with me?
Where was your paper route?
No, I had like 20% in the bank.
Oh, there you go.
You know, which is like $3,000.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, Dad, I want to buy this house. What do you want? You're 16. Why do you want to buy a house? I said, I don't know. It just seems like a good thing to do. We play Monopoly all the time. And he said, well, I'm not going to co-sign with that. You got to do all kinds of work on a house if you own a house. It breaks down. You got to paint. You got to fix the plumbing. You got to mow the lawn. You got to do all that kind
what
of stuff.
What a buzzkill.
Anyway, there's a cul-de-sac where that house used to be, and there are 8 two-story homes on there. So somebody bought that property and made a fair piece of money.
You could have made a million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got that entrepreneurial
spirit. A lot of money talk today. And of course, it's tax weekend. Today's, for whatever reason, the federal government has given you 3 extra days, probably because they figure they could collect more taxes.
There you go.
Instead of the 15th, the 18th. But today's the 15th, and our travel guy is standing by with places you might want to travel if you want to visit your money, if you know what I mean. Gary Warner joins us in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You ever eat crayons?
No, I didn't.
Oh, we all have. We all have.
I haven't.
You didn't
I
even
never
at least
did.
Take a Kelly. Taste. You I had ate, to get a taste.
No, I didn't. I eat dog food, but I never ate crayons.
Really?
Yeah.
Dog food tastes like human food, doesn't it?
Cat food. Ish. Cat Ish. Food? Okay.
I ate cat food.
See, crayon. No,
you
no crayons. And no dirt for
were
people
you
who
down
know
on
what
your
I'm
luck,
about.
Brooke, or were you just curious?
I was curious. Yeah. I wanted to do what my cat did.
Yeah. You could write a blues song about the times when you had to eat cat food, right? And crayons.
It was the crunchy kind, not the white.
Well, crayons, the company. What's the major company that makes crayons?
Crayola.
Crayola. Crayola has been owned by one company since 1984. Any guesses who owns Crayola?
Microsoft.
Kellogg.
No. Apple?
Mm-hmm. No. Not Monsanto.
P&G.
Oh, Boeing.
Boeing? No. Mm. Hallmark.
Yeah. Get out. Really?
Yeah, the card people. The greeting card people.
I can see
Hallmark.
That. Yeah. There's a good connection there.
The Hallmark Channel or whoever. What is Hallmark? What else does Hallmark own?
You tell us, Phil.
Yeah, you tell us. What's on that?
Trinkets and tchotchkes.
Yeah.
Christmas ornaments.
Yeah. Calendars.
All right. So you know who Gwen Stefani is, right?
Love her.
Do you?
Love her.
She's made a living out of singing off to key.
She's cute.
She was married to Gavin Rossdale, the dude from the band Bush. You know, they had like two hit songs or something like that, and made a living out of that. But who do you think was the breadwinner out of that couple?
I would think she was.
Yeah, probably making more money.
But really, she was kind of off the ranch until this voice thing came around.
Yeah, but she still had albums out.
Oh, yeah.
And making the royalties off of all those albums.
No doubt.
You
it's
know.
Huge still.
Yeah.
And her solo stuff.
Yes.
Still good.
Right. Anyway, they're still going through their big divorce battle, the two, Gwen and Gavin. He's walking away with a lot less than he could. Maybe he's too proud to take her money, or maybe it's the nanny guilt thing.
Mm-hmm.
But because they didn't have a prenup, California law, where they lived and got married, says he could have asked for half of everything. And Gwen certainly out-earns him, so he would have cleaned up. But he's taking less than half, and he's not asking for any support.
Yeah, that's the nanny guilt.
They're also splitting custody of their three kids, 50-50, but he'll have them more in the near future because of her touring schedule.
There you go.
Guy takes less money and takes the kids more often. He sounds like...
Totally guilty.
Totally guilty.
Yeah. Guilty, yeah.
Or maybe,
that was the
nanny. But he's maybe learned from
stand-up
it, you know?
Guy. Where's your bank account? Is it in Grand Cayman?
I guess I should put
have
it
we
there.
Met?
Yeah. Hey, well, it's that time of year when we fork over our money to Uncle Sam, and we have some tax-related travel ideas now with our travel guy, Gary Warner, who joins us after a lengthy vacation from the show. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Excellent. Good. Even better now that you're here, sir. And so in the news lately, Panama seems like a good place if you want to have your money offshore. Or maybe not so much anymore. But tell us about Panama from your perspective.
There's a lot of these places that are showing up in the news lately as tax hideaways are also, good spots for just tourists to go and visit. And it gives it a little bit more of an air of mystery. So Panama, yes, the Panama what is it, Panama Letters, or this list of people who basically have been...
the papers, the Panama Papers.
Offshore.
Panama Papers.
Including Vladimir Putin,
yep.
The Premier of Iceland had resigned, the Chinese communist leadership, their families all have millions stashed away there. And so it's kind of rolling along. And, you know, I think it's also great that, you know, Panama's a place with beautiful beaches.
Oh.
It's a one-of-a-kind experience to go through the locks of the Panama Canal on cruises. People go just to do that. You know, they'll go from Fort Lauderdale to L.A. So,
well, what else would you do there, Gary? Would you just walk the streets of Panama and enjoy yourself, or do you have to be at the beach or the canal?
Well, I think I'd go to the banks and ask for some of that money. I didn't hand that out as a tourist thing. Also, you know, since I'm doing my taxes, I was thinking maybe if Gavin doesn't want all that money, his half, I'd be more than happy to take the stuff in.
Well, you and Gwen go way back anyway, so maybe you should tap into that.
One of my buddies, Eric Carpenter, was in No Doubt back when they had a brass section, and he decided to leave and become a reporter. Oh. Wasn't that a brilliant move?
Yeah, brilliant.
No Doubt.
Brilliant so, move.
But, no, back to Panama, you know, I don't like the cities too much. Really, it's the beaches, and then that one-of-a-kind experience of going through the locks on a cruise ship. All the money that's stashed away there could probably build two more canals.
Wow.
Modernize the thing.
And like we could use a couple of more canals, certainly. Yeah. Now, historically speaking, when somebody says that you've got your money locked away somewhere where it's free from the tax collector, they say you probably have your money in a Swiss bank. And I know things have changed a little bit there, but Switzerland always seems like a nice place to visit, doesn't it?
Very, very much the upscale place to go. You know, the old Bob Seger song, you know, feel like a number, feel like, well, everyone there.
We missed you, Gary.
Is a number.
Wait, what was that song again?
Feel like a number.
Yeah.
And we wanted you to sing it again.
Iceland 76, man, so you gotta kind of.
Chris wasn't born in 1976.
Back. Yeah. So. Anyway, Switzerland's a classic. They have these numbered bank accounts. So basically, it's real hard for people to find out their the identity of the people. It's a classic place to stash money away, going back to before World War II, definitely during the Nazi period, and then in modern times too. But it's become kind of not as preferred as other spots because they do try to, you know, keep kind of a standard, a Swiss standard. There's a little bit of stoic, you know, money attitude there that, you know, you can squirrel it away, but they're not going to help you set up shell corporations like Panama. Panama will do it all for you.
Yeah, Gary, if you go to Switzerland and you want to fit in, do you have to wear one of those Yodelay-Hoo outfits?
Lederhosen?
Socks and the hat and the suspenders, shorts, and all that sort of thing?
No, and slap your knees and you know, no, there's the fondue region, you know, because it's divided between three languages there. They have basically the different canons, as it's called, C-A-N-O-N, which are kind of like provinces. The south is Italian, the west and central is German, and the east and central is German, and the west is French. So you have Lake Geneva, where another famous song, Smoke on the Water,
Frank Zappa and the Mothers were staying there.
That's right, in Montrose.
Can I ask you something about, you said the fondue region, and I immediately thought of fondue. So are they eating a whole lot of that there?
Oh, yeah. When I was in Switzerland for my honeymoon, we were there all season, and so most of the restaurants were closed, but the three that were open pretty much only served fondue. So we had fondue for about 4 days in a row, and it's that, it's not the meat type of fondue, it's the bread with various kinds of cheeses.
And brandy, so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big reason to go to cuisine, not a big reason to go to...
Let me ask you this, Gary. At the time, when you traveled to Switzerland on your wedding, your honeymoon there, did the newspaper pay for the trip?
Not that one, nope. That was back before, like B.C.
So you actually paid for it?
Yeah, before cash. So, yeah, my wife and I got married in our house, had our reception in my parents' backyard, took a three-week honeymoon in Europe.
Oh,
so nice.
We stashed away all the cash for ourselves.
Yeah, all right.
And put it in a Swiss bank account.
Yeah. Put in the Swiss ATMs and, you know, restaurants and trinket shops and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right, Gary. Well, listen, we're out of time. I know there are plenty of other places to visit, and you live up there in Oregon. If you can, in 15 seconds, tell me the benefit from a tax perspective why somebody would visit Oregon.
When you get your return, come on up. There's no sales tax. Whatever you want, go to Best Buy or anything else, pay no sales tax.
Done.
It's harder with big items.
Yeah.
Like cars.
Love that. Love that. Enjoy all the green there in Oregon, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Gary, very much.
Yeah, good
thank
to
you.
Hear from you again, Phil.
All right, same to you. There he goes. It's our travel guy, Gary.
I love Oregon for that. But you can't bring it across the California line.
No, you can't. It's just too heavy to carry Oregon. It really is.
Well played, sir.
That's it for hour one of the program. So much more coming up in the next segment, including stuff that I've even forgotten about because I didn't look. But our movie guy and tips for saving money on college and a whole lot more coming up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we're working on for this hour. Is it Coitons for Coitons? Remember the Atari?
Oh, yeah.
Little game box from the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the robot butler is finally here. We know about the McDonald's of the future. And finally, we can take a look at your brain on LSD.
I thought that was a privilege. Yeah. You guys aren't supposed to see me like that. Come on.
Hey, I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. That voice is Kelly J. Over there is Brooke Peterson. And Chris Martin is here.
I love radio. And, over there.
And Chris has a big announcement to make, which we're going to get to in a little bit, just not now. So let's get things started with you, Brooke. Now, there's not very often a technological improvement on window hangings.
But it's about time.
Yes, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I mean, everything else has gone techie. What's happening?
Well, now you don't even need curtains because now there's a new technology that where the glass can you flip a switch and it goes cloudy. So you can't see through it. So
I like
instant
that.
Privacy. Boom.
Wow.
No more blinds.
Yeah.
I like that.
No more hanging those rods. No more trying to pull them down and wash them every 5 years.
But does it block the UVs so that your sofa doesn't fade?
Good question. I don't know.
Well, you know, didn't they have this technology with eyeglasses for a long time? Those self-shading eyeglasses
where
it senses the sun and then it darkens and blocks out UV rays?
I'm not sure that's the same technology.
You're right. Yeah, it sounds like it's different because you're saying cloudy. It like makes a window cloudy.
How about at night when you have the lights on inside and you have the cloudy feature going? Can people see inside?
Maybe they just see like little shadows.
You don't know, do you?
I just know what they tell me, and they didn't tell me that.
She just knows she doesn't have to hang or clean
curtains
anymore.
I just know I don't
anymore.
Have to pull out my drill.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and I'm really good with my drill, by the way.
Yes,
oh, hello.
But no, and Chris, you're a construction type dude. Have they come up with a drill bit yet that goes straight in?
Yeah, they have guides.
You know,
yeah,
when you have guides when you've got the drill up above your head and you're standing on a stool or a ladder or something and you've marked off the spot for the window for the curtain rod, right?
Uh-huh.
And the curtain rod's got to be perfect, otherwise your
very
curtains are going to be crooked. And so you've got it up above your head and you're pointing it at the wall, and so you don't necessarily have the force of your body to go straight in. So you just kind of have to push it in. And you turn the drill bit. Now, what's the trick? Do you push the drill bit into the drywall a little bit, or do you get a ton of speed going and then just go straight
boom.
In?
Just ram it in.
Much like many things in life, it's always best to start out slow before you just ram it in and drill it.
But here's what
hard.
Happens when I start slow. I start the bit spinning, and then all of a sudden I'm doing a Picasso on the wall because the drill is moving all over the wall, and I've just etched a whole bunch of stuff in my finely painted
I think that's just you.
I even know
how to do and use the guide. Come on, I'm a chick.
A lot of these drills now have little level bubbles in the back. The most important thing is to find a way to get at eye level or higher with the drill bit. Because if you're below it, it's going to be difficult.
What guide?
It's a guide that you put on the drill. It slides out.
Yeah.
You line it up. Thank you. Line it up with the thing, and you just.
They have those.
It helps keep it straight, but you still have to use some form of balance. I mean, if you're going through DTs or something, you're still probably going to spin it around in circles.
I'm a master of spackling.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
That's what I have not done yet.
From all the unnecessary holes.
Yes.
Right. I just use toothpaste.
Yeah,
that works too. Yeah.
See? And you know what's the worst? If you're hanging something that is made of steel or something like that, and it's got two preset holes in it, and then you hold that up where you want it, and you put the little the pencil marks, and then you drill the holes, and then when you go to screw the thing in, wait a minute, the drill didn't go in where the pencil mark is. It went a little to the left.
Right.
And now I can't hang this sucker, and if I'm going to fill that hole up, I've got a drill next to it, and it's not going to work because...
All you do is you move it up a quarter inch, covers up the holes.
See?
Boom.
But you know, I have the perfect solution for you, Phil.
What's that?
Hire somebody.
Thank you.
Get a professional.
Yes.
But see, when you're a homeowner, you see something, you say, you know what? I got to do this right now. It's got to happen now. And like in the next 15 minutes, my wife's going to be so proud of me. And like 3 hours later, honey, is that wall going to be okay?
Yeah. Phil's on the ground with drywall dust everywhere.
And then 3 weeks later, honey.
See, chicks, we realize that because we go through that with hairstyles. Like, we're like, I want to do that right now. But then we realize.
Gotta get it cut now.
You gotta, wait. Because if you jump on that, it's gonna be a big mistake, like a bunch of drywall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go back to a simpler time. when we were sitting on the floor because we didn't really have any place to put our brand new Atari game system that you could play Pong.
Yes.
Or what else could you play on it?
In Space Invaders.
Donkey Kong.
Asteroids?
Frogger.
Oh, I love Frogger.
Oh, Frogger.
And
those are cool.
Super Mario. Well, before Mario was Super, was he always Super or was he just Mario?
I think he was just Mario, wasn't he?
For a time, I know he was battling with Donkey Kong, jumping barrels and climbing ladders.
That's where he started, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I long for those days because almost anybody could master those games. And it
no.
Was, no?
No, I suck.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's new about that? Anything?
Well, the cool part is I love retro. A lot of retro coming back. Vinyl coming back. Well, now they've been able to collect a whole bunch of those memorable images from the Atari age from random like private owners and everything. And they've collected them and put them all in a really cool upcoming book called The Art of Atari. So Robert Conte and Tim Lepetino, they've collected different things that have like the packaging, advertisements, catalogs, even like the schematics of actually the box itself. The console itself is in there.
Oh.
So everything that you can imagine. And it's actually the drawings, like really, really high-tech looking drawings of what they took to pitch the different show or the different games.
Wow.
So like the Atari is like, you know, this really cool, but it's all this really graphic, cool art. And so they've gathered that all into a new book. So even if you can't play Atari anymore, you can go back and look at the games. It's
like a coffee table book, it sounds like.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly like a coffee table book. So,
well,
on Amazon,
Brooke, you're our producer. That's something I'd like to have on the show.
There you go.
He's one of
them. Yeah. Oh, I want the book, yeah. But let's get those guys on. That sounds like
all
fun,
right.
Doesn't it?
Totes.
Yeah. Totes. We can get some of the photos on the show fun page.
There you
page.
Go. Yeah, they're cool pictures, actually.
Yeah, all right.
I had ColecoVision. I wasn't cool.
Yeah,
ColecoVision. You know what? The only time I ever had a good time with Asteroids is I had ankle surgery on Christmas Eve, which sucked enough. But then I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And you know how it would go? Your score would go to 99,999 and it would roll back to zero.
Yeah, yeah.
I rolled that bad boy 3 times.
Look at you.
That was the only time I was good at a video game.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, my mom still has our original Atari.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
She used to play something. She had a favorite game.
Have you looked up what that's worth?
Shaw.
Yeah, it's not in pristine condition, but it's worth a little bit of money.
Yeah, yeah,
it's worth more than what we paid for.
If it still plays and you have the games,
The games themselves, the original games that came with it, in some cases are more important. But what if you sell your original Atari box, you want to sell it with the games that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned vinyl a little while ago. Chris has a pair of vinyl pants.
Yes, he does.
I'm wearing them
right now.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I'm just going to admit, I love fast food. I had fast food for dinner last night.
I'm going to have fast food when we leave here.
Are you?
Yep.
I probably will, too.
I guess I did last night.
And the king of all fast food restaurants is?
Yeah, McDonald's. Well, you make that sound like it might be Burger King, but it is McDonald's.
No, it's not. Burger King's way down. Burger King's been kicked to the curb. I'm sorry.
Aww. Yeah. No resurgence from their grilled hot dogs.
No, apparently not. But what's new with McDonald's, Chris?
Well, McDonald's has opened its first McDonald's of the future. They opened it in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Oh, what? What's your hand up?
Because I'm from St. Louis, so that's not too far from me.
Yeah, but is that
go St. Joe?
Futuristic part of the
absolutely not. That's what makes it cool.
Yes,
they put it there.
They're futuristic in this one area of having the next futuristic McDonald's. But we're gonna see them everywhere. Check out some of the features of it. The new futuristic McDonald's includes a private state-of-the-art party room.
Nice.
Ooh. Who doesn't
party
want that?
Room.
Yeah, probably for kids, I'm imagining.
Aw.
They have tableside service. They have kiosks that will allow customers to customize their burgers and sandwiches. And they have this other little feature called unlimited French fries.
Oh!
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
crack right there.
I am so embracing the future now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's brilliant. Boy. They are smart over there, Mickey D's.
Genius. It's the best part of that restaurant is their French fries.
Forgot to buy stock.
Go do it now. It's just in St. Joe.
Hey, there's a movie that is trending at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and Manny the Movie Guy has a strong opinion about it. Do you have an idea which one it is? Don't say it. Don't say it, because Manny joins us in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Brooke and Kelly and Chris are here. And it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a man who acts out his wildest fantasies at home in front of an enormous green screen. KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
And I have a lot of unfulfilled fantasies.
And nothing but time to catch up on all of that, right?
By the way, the valley, the desert, comes alive with Coachella. There's a lot of hipsters running around here in the desert.
Well, and some of the skinny ones will be flying around, too, because the wind is really kicked up.
It's so windy right now, I know.
Yeah, tie them down. All right, so it's a big movie weekend, Manny, and we're going to start with a movie that I think universally, at least in this room, we are all excited about, the new Jungle Book movie.
Oh, good, and good for you, because let me tell you, this movie is perfect in every way, beginning with a cast headed by newcomer Neil Sethi as Mowgli. He's the only live actor in the film. And he's the man cub, quote unquote, in the film.
Yeah.
If you guys love the 1967 movie, you will fall in love with this. It's nostalgia abounds in the new live action adventure. And it keeps the heart of the source material, of course, author Rudyard Kipling's collective works. And all the cast is amazing. I mean, let's begin with there's Christopher Walken as the giant ape King Louie. There's also Idris Elba as the evil tiger Shere Khan. Scarlett Johansson showed up as Ka the snake. Lupita Nyong'o as the protector mother wolf named Raksha. Giancarlo Esposito as Akila the lone wolf. And Sir Ben Kingsley as Bagheera. But my favorite, of course, is Baloo the bear, voiced by Bill Murray. This one...
Bill Murray!
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a heck of a lineup.
Right? It's a great, great cast. And, of course, it's from Jon Favreau, the director of Iron Man. And he is amazing. He's a great storyteller with this film. This one is bold, daring, beautiful, and dare I say, funny. It's a visual masterpiece. And you never hear me, you know, say you go watch it on 3D or IMAX. But this one, it truly deserves to be seen in 3D because it's just that
really
gorgeous.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, every time somebody says that and I see a movie in 3D, I'm thinking, yeah, I hate these glasses.
Yeah, but this is Manny. He's
this
telling you
like
to do it.
I know.
Yes, because it's me. You have to do it.
Well, Manny, you said that Mowgli's the only human in the thing. What happened to the chick? You know, I am busy fetching water. Watch me balance junk upon my head. That one. That lady. What happened to her? The chick that Mowgli falls in love with and decides to leave the jungle.
All the favorite... It's a musical, of course, from 1967. Some of those music has been cut out of the film just to give way to more of the action.
But the chick! He's got to find his hormones.
Leave Mowgli
he's
alone.
Too young.
Doesn't that happen in this movie?
Don't spoil it.
Yes.
Oh, I want Mowgli to find happiness.
The Jungle Book, let me tell you, it's perfect. I gave it a perfect 4 out of 4. I love
Ooh.
It.
You gave
that
it four kisses, huh?
Yes.
Nice.
4 kisses, and it will inspire a whole new generation.
All right. Now there's a movie about Fiona Apple. That's a cryptic movie reference there. It's called Criminal. And nobody got it, right?
Well,
except Mike Stark,
it's a song,
our executive
right?
producer.
Album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you did get it.
Yeah, totally.
It's not a movie about Fiona Apple?
No, it's not. It's about a criminal, obviously.
Oh.
But Kevin Costner reteams with his JFK cast members, namely Gary Oldman and Tommy Lee Jones, for Criminal. But it's a crime that the movie is not that good.
Oh.
The only saving grace of the film really is Costner himself. He digs deep into the psyche of his character, playing against type. He's Jericho Stewart. He's a criminal, a death row inmate. In order to stop a dangerous terrorist, the memories and skills of a dead CIA operative played by Ryan Reynolds have been implanted into our criminal. You know, the rest of the cast, they'll just ham it up like there's no tomorrow. Oldman is a CIA bigwig. Jones is a surgeon who's behind the transplant. Even Gal Gadot, a.k.a. Wonder Woman, shows up as Ryan Reynolds' wife. Director Ariel Roman failed to find the pulse and heart of the project. What we got is an all-out gimmicky movie that is utterly predictable and only serves to fatten the wallets of the cast. Now,
bam. Mm-hmm.
So they should arrest the heads of the movie studio that released this.
Right, but you know, I love Summit and Lionsgate, so I cannot blame them.
Mm-hmm. You know who my favorite actress is?
Who?
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, really? For God's sake.
I saw her in a movie, and she was good in it.
She's actually good.
I can't remember the name of the movie, but it's about these girls that are being cheated on by one guy. Maybe Manny's seen it. But anyway, she's in it. She plays the secretary.
Another urban comedy.
Yeah, I wish I could remember the name of it. There's some good actresses in it, too.
But
anyway, let's just say they get their revenge on this guy, and Nicki helps them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see? You know? Nicki's not bad.
Right. Now, it's a
but you know what? She's replacing on my list of all-time actresses the amazing performance that Rihanna put forth in Battleship.
Oh, God, yes. That's amazing.
Yes. Amazing fail.
Oh. She's an amazing, amazing Oscar winner.
Anyway, you were going to tell us about Barbershop, the next cut, weren't you?
And let me tell you, I was so surprised with this film. I was incredibly impressed. This one actually improves on the past installments of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's timely and funny, and here's a quick plot. Calvin, a.k.a. Ice Cube, returns with his longtime crew, including Eddie, a.k.a. Cedric the Entertainer. But there's a big change. For one, the barbershop is now co-ed with the ladies traipsing around their once male-dominated place, and their neighborhood is crumbling, so it's time to save not only the shop, but their community. If it sounds cliche, now don't worry, it's not. Director Malcolm D. Lee, who has given us some funny urban comedies before, like The Best Man Holiday, The Best Man, and Undercover Brother, knows his stuff, and he delivers.
Mm.
And everyone gets a shout-out here, from Oprah Winfrey to President Obama. And, yep, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian get the much-needed tongue-lashing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, now I have to go
All
see
right.
it.
Is there a drinking game in there every time somebody says booty? You take a shot?
Yes. Or you know what? Every time somebody says Kanye, that's a drinking game.
That's a good one.
All right. I'm in. Got me in.
All right.
Chicago, though, you will laugh out loud till you cry. There are some talks about Black Lives Matter, but don't worry. It's not too preachy, and it's not too condescending either. So this one gives us a fresh cut indeed. So go watch Barbershop, the next cut.
Ooh. Do we need to see the first one to see this one?
No, you'll get it.
I don't want to see the first one.
Yeah. All right. Hey, what's anything to look forward to next week?
Next week it's Huntsman, the sequel to that Snow White movie with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
This one, Kristen Stewart is missing in action.
That could be good. That
movie looks like...
Too much of a hater for Kristen Stewart. She's actually been turning some good independent films lately.
Okay, cool. I'll give her some slack.
All the buzz I see on this Huntsman movie all revolves around the fact that, one of the Hemsworth brothers went to an awards show with Miley Cyrus. That seems to be what everybody's covering.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly, because probably the movie is not that good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Do you hear what I'm about to say about that movie?
Oh, we'll have to wait until next week. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Go visit and watch his videos. His interviews are spectacular. Just ask any of the people that he's interviewed before. They will tell you they love speaking to Manny, and so do we, Manny.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Talk to you next week.
Bye, Manny.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. All right. Everybody happy?
I won't see The Jungle Book this weekend, but I will see it. But
well,
I imagine those theaters are going to be packed.
Yeah.
You guys were looking at me like I'm crazy when I said Rihanna has put out a great performance in that movie.
I'm sure she's put a lot out. I don't know about a performance or not.
What movie was Rihanna in?
Exactly.
Battleship.
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 It was like a $100 million movie.
Battleship? That's a game I played as a kid. That was awesome.
I got it at home. Yeah,
I was good at that too.
Are you any good at geography?
Occasionally,
no.
What's the largest country in Europe? Smarty pants.
Russia. Norway.
No, Russia's in Asia.
Oh, yeah, crap.
It is.
See? Told you I wasn't good at this.
Germany's largest country. Is it France?
But I'll give you a hint.
What?
It's a chunk of the former Soviet Union.
Poland?
Didn't I just say Russia?
But
no, it's,
but
yeah,
the
but
Soviet Union was encompassed part of Europe.
Germany?
No, Germany's pretty small.
See, because like Poland is in Europe, right?
It's not, yeah, those are my peeps.
And Poland was a part of the Soviet Union.
But it's not Poland.
No.
Can I Google this?
We obviously don't know.
Can I, tell us? Can I phone a friend?
Can we move on, please?
Yeah. But we need an answer.
It's 22,000 square miles bigger than France, and it is Ukraine.
Oh, get out. Really?
Ukraine. Largest country in Europe.
All right.
Wow. There's cold there?
I don't know.
God, I'm gonna such a dork.
Chalk that up to information I can forget in the next 10 seconds.
Because you went to college. Hey, have you seen the prices of college these days? Who in the world, other than very wealthy people, can afford to go to university? How to afford college with an expert on such things who wrote a book that you're going to want to hear about. And this expert dude joins us. Did you? Who went to college in this room?
Here, here. All hands are up.
All college educated.
Yeah, baby.
We's a bunch of smart folks right here.
We are. That's why I don't know what Ukraine is.
All right. The smart guy with the college stuff joins us in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's college acceptance time.
Say that again.
Yeah. Send me back to school.
Yeah.
Well, this is a time when, if you know any of them, they're freaking out. High school seniors, because they think all you ever want is for them to go to a good college and learn a lot of stuff and be successful. So there's so much stress on the high school kids. But it's that time of year where they start applying to schools, and you write a check for each one of those applications, and then you look, okay, oh, you want to go to Rutgers. How much does that cost? You want to go where? Ohio State? How much does that cost?
How many zeros is that?
Holy crap. When I went to college, it was $98 the first semester, and it cost me $30 for all of my textbooks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what it was like in the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah,
put up on the way.
But behind every emotional college decision is the question of how to pay for that education, of course, these days, because it's like $40,000-$50,000, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just a semester.
Thank you.
Ridonkulous. Which is worse than ridiculous, the kids tell me. Joining us live is the author of the book, Winning the Money Game in College. Any major and any GPA can finish college debt-free or better. How in the world is that possible? But that was the whole name of the book there. It's a long
name.
You can buy the book in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Stephen Roberts is the author, and he's here with us now. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing? I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, doing well and even better now that you're here. There is no way around the cost of college. I mean, you just have to suck it up and resign to the fact that you'll either spend all of your savings on your kid's education or your kid will spend the rest of his or her life paying off a loan, right?
Actually, strongly disagree. There's several ways to pay for college, and student loans people just use because they tend to be the default that people go to.
Well, it's too late for a lot of us, but we're going to listen and in pain. Mm-hmm. So direct us then. How in the world do you do this without student loans? And because it's so much money.
Okay. It is a lot of money. And this is something that I would recommend people take a look at is I loved how you were talking just a moment ago about knowing the actual cost of college. That's something that is incredibly useful because it can actually determine where you want to go and how you want to approach it. For example, a lot of students, they want to go to a big university, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, they could cut the cost drastically if they would first go to, like, a community college. And then
exactly.
From there, transfer in the credits. I recommend that you go for, let's say, about 2 years, get an associate's degree, transfer it over to the school, and then your credits are accepted. You don't lose anyway, as long as you come from an accredited school. And what happens is that you save about half of your bill on your costs. And so knowing up front some of the costs and what's associated, because I've met people that have told me they've gone to lots of the Ivy League schools, and they've also gone to community colleges, and they've said the education is often just as good at the community college as it is at some of the more prestigious schools.
Yeah, but you know what? The pressure I was talking about, you know, there's so many parents and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas who want so badly for their kid to go to Stanford or to Harvard or something like that. And you go, Pacoima JC? What is the JC stand for? Jesuit College or what? Please tell me you're at a prestigious school.
I'm sorry, I don't follow. My prestigious school? What are you referring to?
Yeah, no, what I'm referring to is there's a lot of pressure coming from the parents and others in the family for the high school kid to go to a prestigious school right out of high school. And so it could be, you could be the shame of the family line. They're going to have to burn the coat of arms if you go to a JC.
Or they could be the smarter in the family and say, hey, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, I could save you a lot of money. I'm going to go to this JC first.
But see, this, and you must know this, Stephen. This starts in elementary school where the parents are gearing their kids up for, they're going to take AP classes, they're going to be in Model United Nations, they're going to do all these things, and they're going to be ready for it by the time they're in middle school. And all of that's going to lead up to the point where they'll already have enough credits to be done with their freshman year by the time they get into the university.
Sure, absolutely. And that's actually not a problem at all of just the family heritage, so to speak. But what is good to do is actually, as you're going through the Model United Nations, as you're preparing, let's add a couple steps along the way. I think would be very helpful for people to prepare for. Like, for example, one of the tools that I recommend people look into highly is what's referred to as a 529 education savings plan.
Oh, now, how does that work?
What they are, they're kind of like a Roth IRA. A lot of people are familiar with those. I like to compare them. What it is you take after-tax dollars that are state and federally taxed, income taxed, and then you can put them into a special account. In the terms of a Roth IRA, you use the expenses for retirement. In the terms of a 529 education savings plan, you use the expenses for tuition, books, class fees, lab fees, and housing.
Yeah, I have one of those actually for my kid.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
You actually did it. See,
I
heard about something like that when my kids were in elementary school, and I thought, that sounds like a great idea. And now I'm cutting a check for like 20 grand every 6 weeks.
Exactly. See, but there are both long-term and short-term benefits to a 529 education savings plan. You can take the money out tax-free, and you can also transfer it between siblings rather easily.
Oh,
so that becomes really convenient for parents.
Yeah.
But let's say that there was someone who didn't necessarily prepare in advance. And what they could do instead is they're about two-thirds of the states, they offer a state income tax credit just for contributing to the 529 education savings plan. And so what will happen is that a lot of people go crazy over getting those rewards credit cards, or getting a point here or 1% back or something. Well, lots of states, just for contributing to the state 529 education savings plan, will offer you a state income tax credit, which is kind of like a rebate.
Yeah.
So you're not just for going out and getting an apartment, for example, or for buying your books or paying for tuition. You can have different amounts at different states, but let's just say 5%, a 5% return on your state income tax credits. And so it makes it actually, you're going to spend the money anyway.
Yeah, how about just the money it costs to simply apply to go to a school? I mean, after you apply to 3 or 4 schools, it's more money than I paid for my whole first 2 years in college.
Absolutely. Well, actually, for anyone who's preparing to go to school, what I recommend people do is there are ways around the application fee.
Really?
The easiest way, people don't believe me, but this is the easiest way, is you ask them. You ask them how you get around the application fee. They'll tell you flat out, the admissions counselors and the deans of colleges, they will tell you how to get around the application fee.
Hey, Stephen. I don't believe you.
Well, did you ask?
No, I didn't, but and it's too late. Now, how easy is it to find scholarships on your own if somebody hasn't offered one to you already?
It's actually fairly easy to find scholarships on your own. Basically, what you can do is you can go to a website, which I recommend is www.fastweb.com. FASTWEB.com.
Okay.
what it is, you'll go there and you'll answer 100 questions. No joke. It'll be like check the box questions of like, yes, no. Have you done this? Have you not?
But you just did your FAFSA, so you're accustomed to answering 100 questions.
Yeah, exactly. So you go and you fill out a profile. And what happens is that it'll do sort of a scholarship search portal, where if you just went to Google or to Yahoo or Bing and just typed in the word scholarship, you'd get tens of millions of results. But you wouldn't know if that was something from 1993 or something that actually applied to you. But with this, it sorts out everything and allows you to basically narrow in on what you do apply for and what types of scholarships are available. Now, people will tell me, oh, come on, that doesn't work. Well, I tried it with a demo profile just to see, and I put in someone who was a white male, had a 2.7 GPA, and had a 19 on the ACT, and had an interest in bull riding. You wouldn't think that would be a very good profile.
No.
Well, I've seen it range because they'll fluctuate from week to week and even month to month. But I've seen it range all the way from 185,000 all the way up to 315,000, just that profile.
Holy cow, Whoa. That's so worth 100 questions.
It is.
What was
Man.
That profile again?
All right, well, we're gonna link to that website on our links page for sure. And do you have a website, sir, that people should visit?
I do. It's www.collegecashchampion.com.
CollegeCashChampion.com. And get the book at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com in the store. It's called Winning the Money Game in College. And Stephen Roberts is the author, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you, sir. I feel like a complete idiot because my kids are all past the point where we could have saved any money.
I have hope with my 7-year-old.
Good for you,
thank
Kelly.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for being on the program.
Thank you so much, Kelly and Phil. Appreciate that.
All right. And he forgot about you, Chris.
Yeah, he forgot about Brooke, too. So
yeah.
At least I have someone I can console
kind of
with.
Sounded like he said Brooke. In the,
no, he didn't. He did not. No. No, he didn't.
I just have a big mouth. I can't help it.
All right. Well, Chris, we've been waiting till the end of the program, and the final segment of today's show is next, and you have a very important announcement to make that you tried to say it was our announcement, but it's really your announcement.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I look forward to it.
We'll hear
the announcement. I'm talking about it.
I don't know if I do, but we'll find out what it is next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We thank you for that. And here today with us is Brooke, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Kelly J,
hello,
Los Angeles radio badass. That's on her business card.
Yeah, it is.
And Chris Martin, who's been with us on the show since, back in the day when Carlo Sisu decided he was going to leave beautiful Southern California and all its glory and beautiful weather and beautiful people to live in 20 degree below zero temps in Chicago.
Ugh.
To take a job at... you remember the name of the place where Carlo was?
Something Sports, 24/7 Sports, or
5-hour Sports.
Yeah, or... it was a number and then Sports.
It's the online version of ESPN with no relationship to ESPN. They've got their own
nice.
Deal there, and I feel bad that I don't remember what it's called, but I'm going to try to look it up in a minute to clarify that because it's actually a cool thing. But anyway, and then we had a contest, and we had a whole bunch of people enter the contest to replace Carlo. And it came down to two or three guys, and they had voting. And I don't know how you pulled this off, Chris, but you were like Bernie Sanders out there amassing delegates across the country, and you were going up against the Hillary Clinton of the time, because this guy had an amazing audio recording that made him sound like the next best thing to sliced bread when it comes to talk show co-hosts.
Yeah,
and I was very enthused about the guy. But I knew you because you were one of my students in college where I taught, and I thought you had some raw talent and was impressed with you. Ultimately, you won the contest.
Yeah.
And you've been here for a long time. What's it been? Two and a half years?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
two and a half.
A fun yeah. 2.5 years, I think.
I'll say. And as I pointed out many times on the program, you're my wife's favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, she just can't stand me. And she doesn't like me on the show either.
Aww.
No, that's not.
And I love your wife. I've gotten to know her over the years, and she's great.
She hasn't told me anything about that.
Yeah. Well, we keep it
Was
secret.
That your big announcement?
Yes. Figured we'd save the big reveal.
So anyway, we also know over the years from getting to know you that aside from being a young, hunky dude, you've also worked off and on over the years in the construction business. As more of a construction management kind of guy, right?
Yeah, pretty much my whole life. My family's been involved in construction management or engineering to some degree, too. So
yeah, and so now this as a natural progression with your family. And tell us what's happening.
Well, I'm going to be moving to Arizona part-time, but most of each month I'll be out in Arizona. And I'm starting an investment project in construction with my family out there where we're going to build some new model homes and we're going to sell them to the local residents who are, you know, looking to get some nice places to store their houses, or excuse me, store their horses.
Yeah.
And get into some new digs.
So it's horse property.
It's horse country out there. It's a little place called Congress, Arizona, but the larger towns on the outskirts are getting larger and they're spreading and this little town's growing.
So you're on the edge of the urban sprawl.
That's it. Yeah, you can see it coming. There's definitely a big opportunity there.
So what's the price range of these houses you're building?
Well, the house across the street from the first property we bought is selling for $285,000. So
okay.
That's pretty good for Arizona. Yeah, that's pretty highfalutin.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Okay, but their house is not too far from there that are selling for more than that, right? When
yeah,
you get closer to the urban sprawl.
Yeah, they actually just put together something like a 6,000-unit spread very close to there, and those houses are going for anywhere from $400,000 to $700,000, depending
wow.
on the layout.
No
yeah.
kidding. Mm-hmm. And are there any signs that this area of Congress, Arizona, is already starting to prepare for a boom? Like, are they building like Costco's or
post office,
hotels,
McDonald's?
Or? Yeah, all of that stuff. All of that stuff. You can see some of the larger market stores and chains coming into the area. They're building these new golf courses. Walmart's moved in. Gas stations popping up all over.
It's on.
Yeah, it's pretty
it's
much
on.
The biggest indicator, isn't it?
So when's all this starting? When are you getting out?
It's already started. I'm in the design process now. I'm working with an engineering firm. And
but what I meant was, is when are you leaving the show?
Today. Today will be my last day.
Drops Mike walks out.
For now. I'd love to get back into radio, but for the rest of 2016, I'm definitely in a contract.
So will you be in L.A. area frequently?
Yeah, I'll be here a couple weeks out of the month.
Because we haven't even had time to plan any kind of farewell or going away kind of thing for you.
Fair enough.
You know,
I
like to stop
party.
At Harbor Freight and pick up a couple of tools or something. You could probably use a new laser-guided level or something like that.
Yeah, I go to Harbor Freight when I don't mind buying tools that I know are going to break in a week.
Yeah, but they're on sale.
They're always on sale because they are cheap.
Oh, all right. Good to know.
I think I see a tear in Phil's eye.
Yeah.
What's
well,
that?
I do want to say a couple of things, if you don't mind. I wrote down a couple of notes. As
you did?
I write down notes about everything
okay.
that I talk about.
He is the note man.
But I do want to say that I love radio, and I've loved it for a very long time. For me, radio felt always like the most intimate form of entertainment and broadcasting. You have to use your imagination. I felt very close and connected to the people I was listening to. I listened to countless hours from all of the greatest radio broadcasters that have ever lived, from every genre, from music to news to politics, and talk radio and entertainment became my favorite for sure because of the loose environment. And about 4 years ago, I got into radio, and I could tell it was sort of meant to be because I won a contest, and I got on a 95.5 KLOS and
nice.
Got to hang with Heidi and Frank and be on television. And then right after that, I enrolled in school, and I got picked up right away, even though the classes were full. And I had these fantastic teachers like Phil, for one, and probably at the top of the list, but also Tammy Trujillo, who's a very big name in local radio here in L.A., BJ Butta, who's been on the radio forever, and he took a liking to me and took me under his wing. And then I got a show, my own show, on the college radio, which is almost unheard of, and I got it right away. So all of it felt almost divine, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, good, I'm on the right track because these things are falling together. And then when I got onto this show, you know, everything changed because I really found my groove. And Phil, you gave me the opportunity to find my groove. And what I discovered was, even though I love radio to the max, what I really wanted to do was to find my voice, overcome my anxieties, my social anxieties, and become the most effective and clear communicator that I could become. And that has definitely happened over the past 3 or 4 years. And this show especially is a huge part of that. And what I want to say and what I was excited to say was how much I appreciate this show, everything that happened leading up to this show, all of the opportunities that came along the way, and especially this show and what you guys mean. Because in my mind, this show, the format of this show, and the idea and the concept of this show is the future of entertainment informative talk radio. This is what's coming for the people.
Well,
that's my opinion.
That's very awesome of you to say, and my heart is breaking in two, but it's so wonderful to know that you've had this sort of experience. And look, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to date Gwyneth Paltrow had you not been on this show.
Exactly. Right. See?
And he's so much just into it that's why he's building houses in the desert now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how life unfolds, but real quickly, just going back to overcoming the anxieties, becoming a better communicator, it has helped me in all the other areas of my life. I can see that I'm going to be a better businessman going into this project, and it's just going to make that more successful too. So,
wow.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for putting all of that on our resume. And my goodness, Chris, when did you say you were leaving again?
Well, I'm actually going back to Arizona next weekend. Oh. So I'll be making a visit out there then.
So this is your last show?
This is it.
All right.
But I love you guys. I want you to know that. And Mike Stark, I love you, man. He doesn't get on the radio as much as everybody
else.
Well,
you've left us in a lurch, so I've got nothing else to say other than, aww, Chris Martin, you're dead to me.
Fair enough.
Good luck to you, man.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
All right. I'll give you a big hug after the show's over. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at Phil Hewlett and Friends and leave Chris a farewell message. You can do that on our Twitter at FAF Show, PHAF, or on our Facebook page. Just look for us. And our executive producer is Mike Stark. I think he's crying, too. Brooke Peterson is here. She's our producer.
Yeah.
Ryan Hayden is crying because his favorite hockey team lost last night. And so for Brooke and for Kelly and for Chris and all the friends, whoever they're going to be in the future, I'm Phil. Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.